reading is Psalm 150. It can be found on page 633 of the Bibles in the pews, and I believe will be on the screen. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
The reading is taken from the book of Acts, starting at verse 27 of chapter 5, and it can be found on page 1097 of your Bibles in the pews. And the background is that the apostles have just been let out of jail by an angel who has encouraged them to go and tell the people in the temple courts about the full message of the new Christian life. So starting at verse 27, having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, he said. Yet you fill Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus whom you'd killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, so that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And may our eyes and ears, hearts and minds be open to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do take a seat. It's really wonderful to see so many of you here on what's building the church calendar as low as Sunday, and certainly the way you're raising your voices this morning, no one would know that we're not still celebrating, which we should be, for the Easter promise that we had last week. So as Mark has already told us, the reading from Acts this morning comes at a point where more believers, both men and women, are coming to the Lord. The high priest, in his wisdom, decided it was time to stop the apostles from their teaching and their healing by arresting them. And as we heard from Mark, the doors of the prison were opened by an angel that they may continue the work set before them, which they did. It was from here in the temple where they are teaching that the temple police found them, and that they're brought before the council and questioned as to why they broke the orders not to teach in Jesus' name. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than man, rather than human beings. Their response to the questioning of the high priest as to why they had disobeyed the orders to stay quiet. Simple, direct, and to the point. We must obey God rather than human beings. In other words, you, the leaders, mere human beings, come below the one we obey. And the first of the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods but me, no idols, no other gods, small g gods, shall come before me. Pretty courageous men, knowing that these are the men who put Jesus to death. they could well be next, persecuted for what they believe. And of course, we know many were and still are persecuted for standing up for what they believe. Courageous faith, prepared to put their lives on the line and stand firm in and for the truth, to be sure that others will also hear the good news. And this is the first of my three C's this morning that I want you to remember and to take away from here today. Courageous. And no, before any of you try and guess the rest, one of them is not chocolate. What a surprise, she says. We must obey God rather than human beings. Before we all decide to take the law into our own hands and assume that we can forgo the law made by man, that's not what Jesus came to teach us. Not to break the law, but to ensure that we put God first. What these men of the Sanhedrin are asking them to do is to stay quiet. Stop teaching in Jesus' name and stop, in effect, telling the truth of Jesus' death, uncovering a guilt, justified or not. So where has this huge trust to be courageous from God come from? The second C, because they are certain, courageous and certain. But certainty didn't come as a package all wrapped up from day one and neatly packaged alongside faith, kind of bought on a shelf as part and parcel of following Jesus and being a friend of Jesus. Not at all. It came from the reality of knowing what it was to doubt, to deny, to be unattentive when attention was most needed, to be skeptical. It came through the reality that they had traveled a journey with Jesus, a physical journey, an emotional journey, and a spiritual journey. They were just as fully human as you and I are, walking with a human in every sense and yet the divine Jesus. He hadn't given up on them. He didn't give up on them even to the point of death, and of course beyond, even when they messed up. Certainty that preaching and teaching and healing in Jesus' name was the right thing to do hadn't been necessarily a given every day in their walk with Jesus. They had traveled a journey. He had walked with them and taught them and ultimately left them and us with the Holy Spirit to empower them and to dwell within them when continuing his work, when it was needed most here on earth. So courage and certainty. They, filled with the Holy Spirit, were courageous, and their certainty had grown from the complete humanity of failure and doubt to an understanding of the reality of following Jesus. And the next C I want to look at is continuous. God has walked a continuous journey from before creation on into the world. He formed it at the command of just a word and the world that we now have to inhabit, continuously drawing his people back to himself despite their disobedience, their turning their backs on him despite their lack of faith. And the disciples take a part of this now in their response to the Sanhedrin. Their response, the foundation for parts of the creed that we recite here on Sundays. Verse 30 and 31, Jesus died on a cross, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father for the forgiveness of sins. The God of their ancestors, the God of ours, from the beginning, the maker of all things, their Saviour and our Saviour. He died and rose again, that they and we may know forgiveness and everlasting life. The disciples have faltered, they have fallen, they have doubted, but God is one continuous, constant God throughout all things. Perhaps three C's aren't enough. Courageous, certain, continuous, constant. Maybe I should have given you a bingo card to see how many C's I actually used this morning. So the disciples state emphatically that they are to be obedient to God. What does that look like for us then? Philippians 2 says, "Let each of you not look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you as in Christ Jesus." We hear in verse 8, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death." Obeying God in humility to his will, not for his own gain, but for the interest of others. So for us, humility, not for our own gain, but for the interest of others. Not for our own fame and fortune, not to be liked, not to be the best at this or that, but to seek the will of God. Obeying God requires an immense amount of trust. When we humble ourselves, we let go of the pride and of the ambitions of ourselves and seek the will of God. Interestingly, and many of you may have found this too, that God, as much as I have asked, doesn't usually give me a clear plan of just how things will pan out. If I trust in him, where's the plan? A detailed note beside my bedside with a timetable of just how my walking with him will pan out. Have any of you had that experience? I wait every morning for him to tell me, on my bedside, the detailed plan of what today will look like. But it's an exciting journey to follow Jesus. Trust isn't necessarily a clear and detailed plan, a plan ahead of us, but a letting go and letting God. It's a courageous obedience in walking the path with Jesus. Some of you may have heard this story of a man who loved to walk on mountains. He set off one morning with his backpack, fully in control, everything he needed, all that was there for an emergency, checking the weather forecast, knowing exactly what he was doing. As he walked, an unexpected storm came in and the visibility became poor. He found himself off track and he slipped. As he slipped, he felt completely out of control, but he eventually grabbed on to a branch protruding out of the rocks. As he's holding on and deciding the best course of action, he let his backpack go. It was weighing him down too much. All those things that he thought he needed for his journey, he let go of so that he could hang on with all his strength. Despite crying out, "Help! Help!" no one came. He was alone and he was scared. And he decided to lift his eyes and pray, "Lord, help me." He sensed the Lord speaking to him and the Lord asking him if he could hear. He responded to God by making promises that from that moment on, he would live a life for God. He would behave himself, turn away from all the wrong things that he'd done, put his old life behind him, and serve God for the rest of his life. God then asked him to let go of the branch. Looking below, all he could see was the prospect of falling to his death. And God said,